This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han.
Bart's not here.
He's off today. You got Han Solo today.
Han.
You know what that means. The buffet is open. So the number, 800-919-3776, is there for you to call right now. And you got to be quick. You got to get on it because you know it fills up and then you get the busy sting. You don't like that. But if you can't get through, we do also follow your tweets on at Barton Hunt on Twitter, Instagram. And Bill can tell you anywhere else you can find us.
Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever it is.
All over the damn place. I think, Christian Mingle there, Black Planet. I know we're on that.
Phrasing?
Yeah, we are. This is all a different play. We've opened accounts pretty much anywhere you can have a social media account. That's how desert thirsty we are. All over. You can find us. Just go to any social media and just put Barton on, you'll find us. And TikTok we're going to have once we're allowed in the same building at the same time. And God help you when that happens. Let me just tell you right now. God help you when that happens. Question. You know when we talk about records in sports that'll never be broken?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like all kinds of, the DiMaggio, that hit streak that just seems like no one will ever touch that. Several pitching milestones that you just think will probably never happen because no one pitches the same amount of innings anymore. You don't use starters the way you used to, right? There's all kinds of Cal Ripken's consecutive games played, that probably would be number one now. I mean, number one. But I'm telling you right now, in the conversation, I believe, Mercury Morris and the 72 Dolphins. I seriously am believing now that I don't think we're ever going to see a perfect season. And we all know it came very close in 2007. We all know it was right there for the Patriots. 18 straight. They go 16-0 in the regular season. And they get to the Super Bowl. And we all know what happened. The New York Football Giants. And they finished 18-1.
The fighting Joe Judges.
Well, it wasn't the fighting Joe Judges then. But it was
Eli
and company and a great defense. And that ended that. And I don't know if we're ever going to see it again. The Steelers, I never, like the Steelers with that team when you watched them all year and you thought, I think they can run the table. No, nobody ever thought that. But still, them losing yesterday just made me think about that. Because anytime you have a team that goes undefeated as long as, especially the Steelers have, but if you get to 10-0, you start to have that conversation. Can they run the table? And you look at the schedule and what's remaining, and you think, they can win this, they can probably win that. This was a game you thought, that you think, they're playing Washington. Steelers should win this game, shouldn't they? But a lot of us had that uneasy feeling, that feeling of, here's a game I could see being that trap game, the one they could end up losing. They haven't been playing well of late. Mike Tomlin hasn't been happy with them. What do you call it? The JV performance, right, last week? So he was, you could just tell they were trending in a weird way. And so it wasn't a total surprise. It certainly was an upset, but it wasn't a total surprise. But like I said, neither here nor there. It just makes you wonder, can you see with the cap era, with the amount of parity you see in the league today, with the fact that they're adding another round to the playoffs, more teams are going in. I mean, think about it. After this year, you'll have to go 20-0 Super Bowl to win a Super Bowl and have an undefeated season to put the 72 Dolphins now in the past. Because right now, they still remain the most perfect team in NFL history. And they'll remain that. I just feel like I don't think we're ever going to see it. We're not. There's too many things that get in the way now that used to not obviously be an issue back in 72. More teams, more injuries, more parity, a salary cap that restricts the way you could build your team, what you can keep, what you can't keep. So I just, like I said, just watching that, seeing that game unfold, the great Alex Smith story, bloody sock, I mean, all of it, the second half comeback. There was so much about that game that was compelling and interesting for a 5 o'clock Monday afternoon game that, you know, there was so much to talk about, but it was the first thing, because right away they make reference to the 72 Dolphins, so that it just made me think, like, I don't know, are we ever going to see it? Because Brady and the Patriots, that would have been the team. That would have been the time. I mean, even Kansas City, they have one loss, and that's a really good team. They're defending that good. They can get got. That's one. Do you see that as a record that will stand the test of time, like many others? You know, up there with Cal Ripken, up there with several others. I feel like it will be. But meanwhile, what did that game mean? What did Washington's win mean? Here's what it meant. It meant, for the Giants, you had to now win that game in Seattle. Think about how much more important that game now is in Seattle. What they did to the Seahawks. That upset against the Seahawks for the Giants at the time, at the moment, was like, okay, this is really nice. Now they got to their fifth win. They can eye 7 wins, and you think 7 should win the division. 7 still is the magic number because you have the tiebreaker. Fortunately, you have the tiebreaker against Washington, but they're still right on your tail. You know, Washington loses the game as you expect, and at 14-0 in the first half, it kind of looked like it was heading that direction. Nothing was happening for the Redskins. And then, I'm sorry, Washington. But then in the second half of the game, that's really things totally turned. And what an ending that was for Alex Smith and Washington. And they are a great story. You know, I'm always about the stories. So when you think about, all right, I don't have a rooting interest here. It's good for our business if the Giants win the division and get into the playoffs. So I'm rooting for business, and it's good for our business here in New York. But the story to me would be Washington winning the division. Because their defense is fantastic. We know that. They're tough, that front line. I mean, they're something else. Young. I mean, Sweat. He gets after it. That's a good team. But offensively, as we know, they've had some issues here and there. But Ron Rivera's done a nice job developing that team along the way and getting them where they are right now, where they have that Alex Smith story, who's a smart quarterback, as we know. Always been a game manager, but a smart one. And we know his story. A comeback of all comebacks for him. I mean, I get that everybody wants to make Ben Roethlisberger the comeback player of the year. I mean, come on. Alex Smith's going to finish this season with Washington, and they have a chance to win this division. That's the story. That's your comeback player of the year. After what he's been through, there's no greater comeback story than that one. So you have that, and then you have Ron Rivera, speaking of comebacks, who all he did in his first year as head coach in Washington is battle not only Washington and everything that they've gone through, including taking the name away, which I already slipped on once, and some of the changes they've had to go through. The quarterback issue at the very beginning when Haskins was supposed to be their starter and he quickly moved on and he took some criticism for that. Then an injury to the other. I mean, they've basically down to their third quarterback. Think about it. You have all that going on. And oh, by the way, all he did was fight cancer as well. So they have a great story going on there. Great story. But, of course, we're here in New York, so the better story is to see Joe Judge and the fighting Joe Judges and the Giants with Daniel Jones coming back, hopefully healthy, we'll see, and have them win this division. So it's there. Now, the funny thing is that not only is the division there, but guess what? It might be a bit still of an outside shot. Can you imagine if the NFC East suddenly sent 2 teams to the playoffs? A wild card team? Is that possible? Of course it is. Of course it is. Look where you are right now.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah!
You've got Arizona's not playing well. They're down and now 500, 6-6. So you're game out. San Francisco's at 5-7, and you know, they've had some issues. Boy, they didn't look good at all last night. And we'll get to Josh Allen in a minute here. Washington and the Giants are 5-7 as well. Now Minnesota's the team. They're holding on to that last playoff spot now. I mean, they have the tiebreaker with Arizona at 6-6. Now, Minnesota, they're the team you got to watch here. Their final 4 games, at Bucks, hosting the Bears, at New Orleans on Christmas Day, by the way, and then at Detroit. Can, if they get two wins, it's over, right? Because they get eight. Then it's over. And you could see Chicago, Detroit, those look like, especially Detroit in week 17. I mean, what are the Lions doing at this point? What are they playing for? But I always, like Bart said this, and I always keep it in my mind, anyone can get got. So those are the two games you see. Bears, you see Detroit. You know, Tampa, you know, they'll be down in Tampa. That's their that game this weekend. They can get two. I think they lock it up because they get that eighth win, and I don't think you can catch them at all for a wild card. And Arizona is playing the Giants this weekend here in New York. And then you got Philly. They got Frisco. And remember, that game's actually a home game for both teams because right now the Niners are playing in Glendale. And then they finish against the Rams, and we'll see what the Rams need at that point if they do at all. San Francisco's got Washington, as I mentioned, at Dallas, who's, I mean, we'll see. We'll see today. We got Tuesday football today. And we'll see today if Dallas is already, as Chris Canty always says, ship the cars. If they've sent the cars home, if they're already trying to buy out the lease, you know, if they're living in a room with boxes because they've already packed up, shutting down the season. Cowboys playing at Baltimore today or tonight, a little Tuesday football for you. So we'll see where Dallas is mentally right now. Then the Niners have at Arizona. I mentioned that before because I mentioned Arizona. And then the last game of the season against Seattle for the 49ers. And again, that game might have some implications. So those are all important games. So, you know, looking at those guys that are ahead in the wild card and looking at where the Giants are with Washington, the Giants still have the upper hand. But as we've talked about, that upper hand now, it's very, very tight. Tight like a taiga. If you're the Giants, I've mentioned Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Dallas. Does seven get it done? I think so. But seven's got to be the target. And that's where it gets interesting. That just tells you. First you thought, oh, just get to six. Six wins will win this division. No more. Now it's seven. Seven's got to be the number now that wins the division. All because what Washington did yesterday in what is a bit of a surprise upset that kept Washington in this thing. Washington has to also play the Seahawks. Washington, and they host them. Seattle's got to come east. They've got the Panthers. After Christmas, and the Panthers are that's not an easy team. You know, you can't look at it and look at their record and think, oh, they'll beat the Panthers. Carolina, you know, Matt Rule's done a good job coaching that team hard, so I wouldn't just completely overlook that. And then they finish with the Eagles, and who knows what the Eagles are going to look like by then. Jalen Hurts probably would be the quarterback on that day if he's not already the starter before that. It just feels like they're going to make that change. It seems inevitable. I think it's out of Doug Peterson's hands at this point, too. So that's, you know, look at that schedule for Washington. And if you're telling me they get to seven, the two wins there, where are they? You got Niners. You got Seattle. Niners on the road. Seattle at home. Panthers at home. Eagles on the road to finish the season. I think, I mean, there's two. There's two wins there, isn't there? And that gets them to seven. So if you're the Giants, you've got to keep pace because you have the tiebreaker. At the very least, you got to keep pace. So things suddenly getting interesting in what was the ugly NFC East, where people were mocking the NFC East and how maybe a team shouldn't even, you know, get a home bid. But it's going to finish pretty strong and pretty exciting. And it always goes this way, right? The ugliest games always have the best endings. Well, that's what you've got going on right now in this division. And once again, that's what makes that win just so damn critical. That's what makes it exciting. Meanwhile, I get 800-919-3776. I promise I'll get to some calls in a minute. We've got our Jets guest for the week. Each week we have a Jets guest. This week, Ty Johnson is going to join us. That'll be coming up bottom of the hour. So if you're a Jets fan, look forward to another, you know, he had a nice game. Another young player that the Jets are excited about that we'll discuss with. But speaking of the Jets, as a lot of people have seen and heard about this, Boomer Esiason talking about his co-host on CBS, Bill Cowher. And apparently Bill Cowher's got, at least he's suggesting, that Bill Cowher really likes the Jets, likes what they've got, likes Joe Douglas. And I guess Boomer's surmising that perhaps that means Cowher might be interested in the job. Let me tell you a little something when you're talking about the Jets job. as we've talked about. It's unique. And what do you need? You need a guy that checks certain boxes for this franchise that they haven't been able to do that in a while. A leader, right? A guy, a front man, front of the room, commands the room. You got to have that. I'd like the guy to have a ring. He's got that. You know, you want to have something on the resume so when you walk in the room, a Super Bowl champion before, like when you can say those words before, you know, the coach, that means something. I think it also commands a lot of respect in a room, at least immediately. I want somebody that has run a winning team, that understands what it takes. And you know what stands the test of time? You can say, well, he hasn't coached in 14 years. Like, why are we doing that? Why do you want a guy that hasn't coached in over a decade? Retread, some will say. Look, there's a lot of other options out there. You can go with a young coach. You can go to college coach. Some of that's unknown. And I understand the concern about going with an older coach, a guy in his 60s who hasn't coached in over a decade. You do have those concerns. Is, you know, is he detached too much from the game? Does he know the game today? You know, is he aware of players and the way players are today compared to back then? What has he been doing for the last decade? Every Sunday, he's studying football. Every Sunday. He's talking about it, analyzing it. So he's very much still in the game. Very much still in the game. And I don't think you ever lose the ability to lead people. So I think Cowher is a very interesting name. Interesting name. Is it my lead candidate? I don't know. But if somebody who works with him closely and they have those conversations, as you know, I mean, look, when they go to break, when you're in the green room, that stuff is all off the cuff. You have those conversations. And when you do, you get to know people and you kind of get that sense. So when you suggest that, you know what, I think he might be interested. And I've heard his name. How many times has his name come up before, by the way? And it's always been, no, he's not interested. He wouldn't want it. Doesn't want to get into it. But he wants one more kick at the, if he wants one more kick at the can and he wants it here in New York in a big stage, doesn't he check all the boxes? Just think about it. Doesn't he check all the boxes that you want checked for your head coach? Especially if he's willing. Like, you know, sometimes guys of his resume and experience, they're going to want full autonomy. Like, they don't want to come in and just like, no, I'm going to tell you what players to get. I'm going to tell you what I want. But if he's, and we all already know too, the way it works with the Johnsons, is the GM is not in charge of the coach. They are supposed to work together. It's a committee. It's a tandem. Right? We can agree or disagree on whether or not that's the best way to do it. But as long as a guy like Cowher comes in with his resume and looks at Joe Douglas as a partner instead of you work for me, instead of like an ego battle, well, then I think we've got something. I just think this job right now, especially, by the way, if you want to have Trevor Lawrence look up at the Jets with the number one pick and go, yeah, I have no issues going there. I got a guy with a ring. I got a head coach with a ring, and maybe he'll bring in, you know, who's going to bring in to run the offense? I have no idea. You know, where's Ken Whisenhunt these days? Like, who's it going to be? The point is that if you have somebody with that kind of name, that kind of clout, that kind of resume, it does help. When you have a lot of money to spend in free agency, when you've got a high draft pick that could be number one, it's important that whoever it is that's the face of your franchise, the guy that speaks every day, commands the room, commands respect. He ain't sitting there in an oversized suit, you know, with his hair all messed up. He ain't sitting there with googly eyes, looking in all different directions, looking completely uncomfortable having a camera in his face. All that stuff, I'm telling you, man, all that stuff resonates with players. You walk into a locker room, it's one thing I learned in 20 years covering sports. It's the environment. We judge each other, athletes. That's what we do. Constantly judging each other. By everything. What you wear. How you walk. How athletic you are. You know, all that stuff. Any little skill you might have. That's just how it goes. With competitors. That's just the attitude you have, constantly analyzing each other. So when you have a coach step in front of a room, the players are doing that immediately, analyzing. What's he about? What's this dude about? Is he genuine? You know, why does he dress like that? Why is he looking like that? What's wrong with his eyes? All that stuff. I can't understand him. Why is he mumbling? Remember Jim Tomsula? How are you putting that guy in front of a room? You know, Herm Edwards would walk into a room. He commands the room. Like, you know, Rex Ryan commands the room. Bill Parcells commands the room. Say what you want about, you know, Bill Belichick. But there's something about him that commands the room. Mike Tomlin commands the room in football. More important than any other sport. You need somebody that does that. So the question is, and I don't even know if the Jets would even be interested in him. But because it was brought up, I feel it's important to bring it up. Bill Cowher checks all the boxes. If there's mutual interest, he certainly does fit a lot of the needs that this team has. A lot. Maybe not all, but a lot. So to me, it was worth talking about. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's take Spike in New Jersey. Hey, Spike.
First of all, congratulations on the new gig.
And, thank you. It's exciting.
It's going to bring a New York-centric feel to everything.
Oh, yeah, I want everybody to know that, too. We got New York flavor. There's no way we can lose it. I can't. It's not like I'm going to fake my accent or anything like that.
Yeah, you can't lose it. I'm really proud of you guys, and it's a good move. And we got basketball coming soon. And I just want to make a comment. Just thinking about things. I watch the games, of course. I'm a diehard sports fan. You know, we've been together a long time. What I saw out of the quarterback on Washington yesterday, if that guy doesn't unanimously win the Comeback Player of the Year award, there's something wrong with awards.
Which guy? Alex Smith?
Alex Smith. He got tackled on a play. I was telling Anthony when he picked up.
Mm-hmm.
He got tackled on a play, and I'm saying, oh, man, every time, you know.
No, you cringe every time he gets hit. Every time he gets hit, you get cringed. You're always waiting for that awkward moment. Look, when he got cleated by his own offensive lineman, and he's got blood coming down his leg, you're thinking, I mean, how tough is this guy? How tough is he?
I've never seen anyone that tough, and I guess his love of the game usurps anything else. But he's playing well, and that team is not. I don't know, I'm a Giant fan, and also I give this young fella my name. The names just slip out. I have so many basketball player names in my head, but the names the Giant coach Joe Judge. He just looks right. And you think of the last two guys from Belichick. They did pretty well.
We were talking about that yesterday. You know what, Spy? And thanks for the call. Always good to hear from you. I appreciate the well wishes as well. We were talking about that yesterday, actually, because we did last week when we were doing the whole coaching tree thing. You know, Belichick, his more recent coaching tree hasn't been that bad. I mean, Brian Flores, what he's doing down in Miami with that group. And talk about, again, genuine, tough guy. Like, I know that it probably wasn't the best look for him to go out in the field and get involved in that fracas. But the fact that he went out there, it showed his players, I'm here with you. You know, there's something about that. I think, players look for, you got to be genuine with me. Genuine with me. Richard in Manhattan. Hey, Richard.
Hi, Alan.
Yeah.
Alan.
Yes.
Do you know the connection Bill Cowher has with the New York Jets?
What is it?
It's a very strong connection. Do you know where Bill Cowher went to school?
Tell me.
North Carolina State.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who his coach was at North Carolina State?
Go ahead and tell me.
The third worst coach in New York Jet history.
Third
number one, Kotite. Number two, Gase. Number three, Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz left
NC State in 76,
mm-hmm.
toward the end of 75, December of 75, mm-hmm. to come to the New York Jets.
And he was a nervous Nelly the whole time.
He was terrible. He converted Richard Todd to a run-pass option quarterback, which at that time you couldn't do. I mean, he was ahead of his time for that. He was so bad, he quit. And I give him credit for this. He quit one game before the season ended in 76.
Yeah, he couldn't take it. He was stressed out.
He wasn't a pro coach. He never returned back to the pros either.
Yeah.
But he was honest with himself. Anyway, Cowher played for him at NC State. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Well, his other connection is also that he's been here in New York for a long time.
Correct.
And his wife, his current wife, is from New York.
Alan, let me make one more point.
And he wants to be here, and they pay well.
Alan, one point. Dave Rothenberg touched on this before, but he didn't get the full thing. The Jets reached the exact climax that the Giants in 78 when Pasarchik fumbled the ball, handling the ball off. This game game on Sunday is just as embarrassing. It's just that the Jet fans aren't as vocal as Giant fans. If I was a rich Jet fan, I would hire a plane, and all right, we can't go over to the Meadowlands anymore because there are no fans there. I'd go right over to the center of Manhattan and say, 10 lousy years of football, or 8 lousy years of football, it's got to stop. We got to clean house. And I don't say that Goodell has to step in like the commissioner.
But Richard, when you say clean house, Joe Douglas, I like
Joe Douglas. He didn't do anything. He didn't even handle this situation right. I get rid of him, so I clean house totally. And get a guy like Ray Perkins in, and that was the start of the Giants. George Young, I'd do something like that, Alan. They got a clean house. I don't want any remnants of this regime left with the Jets. I want to start from scratch. One guy to do it. I don't care if it is Bill Cowher. Let him make all the decisions. Let him be the general manager. He knows more than Joe Douglas. They bungled this last thing. They really did. That's my feeling, Alan.
Well, I appreciate it, Richard. Thank you. I disagree. I think Joe Douglas is doing a lot of good things. He's just not doing them at a fast pace. But he's a guy that's moving quietly, and the little quiet moves that they're making, I can see it. I can see it, and I can see what he's doing. The problem is they don't have a good head coach who didn't put together a good – they didn't do a good job taking a coach and then forcing his assistance on him. That was just a bad way to do it. They shouldn't have done it that way. Remember, Douglas came in after Gase. Remember that. The people that say Douglas didn't hire the coach, Douglas ain't going to fire the coach. The owner does all this stuff. I know Gase took credit yesterday for making the decision on Greg Williams. That is posturing. That is window dressing. This was an ownership decision because they have final say on this type of stuff. Believe it. They'll give him the credit because they have to. Right? That's because he's the coach. That's your coaching staff. But if he had that kind of power, Greg Williams would have been gone a while ago. This is the ultimate sports fan song. You guys think it's a love song? No, it's not.
Really?
It's all about like how you love being a Fairweather fan, and we got to have a talk one of these days. Old generation to new generation about this trend y'all have about just being fans of stars. And how you don't really get into teams because they break your heart, and you can't, like, you're stuck with a team that when they're bad or have bad management, you're never going to be good. But you know what, though? When you think of that, and you think about how I'll be free from that kind of pain, but then you also don't have the same euphoria when, like, the Cubs won the World Series or when the Mets got Steve Cohen as owner. And he tweets now. He tweets stuff. He says, hey, I've got good news and bad news. What do you want first? Like teasing you. Like practically telling you, you know, through code, subtweeting how George Springer, any day now, is going to be a Met. Oh, he hasn't said it yet, but you know he's kind of hinting to it, right? He knows something big's coming, so he's excited about it. It's fun. But when you're like a fan of like, I'll just be fans of good teams. So this year I like, you know, and I'll be a fan of like a team I think might be on the rise. So this year I'm a fan.
I just want a fair chance, man.
Oh, we'll get to you. Jay Will going to join us. But like, it's like, you know, I'm a fan of the Memphis Grizzlies this year. I'm excited about their future. But then if they suck, you're like, well, I don't like them that much. So I'm going to go now. Who's my, oh, the Pelicans are my team now. Oh, Zion's on load management. Eh, I don't like them anymore. Like, what kind of life is that? Yeah, sure, it's a life without pain and frustration. But the euphoria, like when you do have success, there's something special about it. So we got to have a talk about that whole thing one day. I'm sure the callers on that day will be interesting. But it's a trend. It's happening in sports. I see it. And I don't agree with it. I think your generation's screwed. Really do? Tell me I'm wrong. 800-919-3776. Kashi's in the cab. Kashi, what's up, man?
Hey, Alan, how are you doing?
Good.
So, you know, I was kind of disappointed the Jets lost the game. But then again, when they went ahead, all that came to my mind was Steph Curry. Yeah. How did it just one kick away just missed out? But the reason I'm calling is I like your call about the coach, Cowan.
Mm-hmm.
They got a pretty good team, the Jets, even though they haven't won a lot of games.
They got some pieces.
Ran the ball.
Yeah.
I think it really the game got away from them when they last time had the ball. They didn't get a first down.
No, they were three and out. Yeah.
They just gave the ball up. They were not even trying to attempt the pass. All they had to get was get one first down, and that was it, you know. Firing the coach is a bad thing because the head coach lost 10 games. If anybody needs to get fired, he should have fired himself. You can't put that on that man, you know. And he had a chance to call a timeout. He didn't like the call. And he didn't do that.
And that's what a head coach is supposed to do if he's paying attention.
Right.
And now he's like, I regret I didn't use the timeout. And it's like, well, it's too late, man. You did a bad job as a head coach in that situation.
It's too late. You know, that he shouldn't have fired that coach. That's bad for the team.
Well, I'm telling you, Kashi. I got to run, so I appreciate the call. I'm telling you. He did not make that call. Did not. He was told to handle it because he's the head coach. You go ahead and do it. You fire him. Boy, what kind of conversation you think that was? Because you know what kind of disdain Greg has for him, right? Like, I don't think it's a secret. We remember early in the season they were having it out because Greg was annoyed about how the defense was actually performing and they were competing and the offense was terrible. So you know there's something. That disdain, that must have been some conversation. But that's the Johnsons. That's their, you know, all right, well, the head coach delegates the coaches, so we all agree he should go. Go ahead, Adam. Do it. Because Adam would have fired him a long time ago if he had that kind of power. So I don't care what they're saying publicly. I'm telling you right now, that was not Adam's call. He certainly could have put up a fight. He could have said to Chris, I want to keep him. Let's keep him. You know, like he could have defended him, but he didn't. Glad to see him go. And it's only a matter of weeks before all of them go. And they got to start fresh. And we'll see where they go from there. Hot, young coach. You know, the big name. Or an experienced coach with a resume. Not many of those available. That remains to be seen. And who will make the decision? Let's hope it's not Peyton Manning this time around, right? Interesting comments here. I'm just going to get into the calls in a minute before we get to audio files. But first and foremost, as we're talking with Jay Will, and Jay Will brings up what he's been talking about for weeks about how James Harden to the Sixers seems like another likely possibility. And he's been mentioning the Sixers for a long time, even before the Nets stuff got hot and heavy. Woj and Tim McMahon tweet and also just put out the report.
Woj bomb.
Yeah.
Woj bomb.
James Harden indicated to the Rockets before the beginning of training camp that he would be open to a trade to the Philadelphia 76ers or possibly other contenders.
This I just want a fair chance, man.
Sources telling ESPN. He's holding out of camp, as we know. He has already requested to be traded to the Nets. They want to have a super team. The Nets, however, as I said, is from what I'm hearing, Houston's not interested in the Dinwiddie-LeVert kind of thing. Like, they want a star. So as Jay mentioned, they also want draft picks, by the way. So as Jay mentioned, you do have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And while you can't exactly, you know, Ben Simmons to the Rockets would be nice, but they got John Wall just now. Like, and what do you do there? It's still, if I'm the Rockets, yeah, give me the guy at 23 years old who's, you know, already a star. I'll take that in return from Harden. And, you know, we can go forward from there. My question is this. If you're the Knicks, can you help? Because obviously the Rockets want some draft picks. I want talent. So how can we help each other? Help me help you. Keep an eye on this. Just saying, keep an eye on this story. Because this ain't going anywhere. He's not showing up. He does not want to be in Houston. He's made that abundantly clear. And they're not finding him yet. But it's going to get to that point. The owner doesn't want to trade him. That's it. They'd like to move on from him, and they want to hit the reset button. They want to rebuild this team, and the owner's afraid to do it. He's afraid to do it because you know what happens when you trade your star. You don't have that marquee guy anymore, and suddenly you become less interesting on the national level. You're not on the national games anymore. It is all that stuff. So just keep an eye on that. All right, 800-919-3776. Lou is in Manalapan. Lou, how you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, Alan?
Good.
Huge fan. Happy to get on.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
So I wanted to comment on this media versus the players type, this discussion you opened up. I was a student of journalism, and I went to school. Kind of took my chances in that. Wrote several things online or whatever.
Okay.
And you know, nothing is more irritating, whether it's sports or just a regular, you know, article on the beat. You know, when you can't get someone to talk. And I think when you're a player, an athlete, you have the opportunity to kind of paint this image of yourself and kind of, you know, give your own explanation to what happens on the field, what happens on the court, what happens on the rink, in your own words. And I think if Kyrie or anyone doesn't want to talk to the media, it just leaves an open door for them to just kind of like, I wouldn't say they would be paparazzi, but they would kind of just make an image of you. Or you have the ability to make the fans, especially in New York. You have the Post and the Daily News. Most New York sports fans, especially if you're a Knicks fan, sometimes you don't watch the game, and you go to the newspaper, you go to the back pages, and you want to see what your big star is saying, what they're doing. And I think that's really important. I think that players, I think it's the one responsibility they have outside of playing the sport and practicing for the sport. I think the media is a very important part of their job. They should have to talk to the media. They should be willing to put out their input of what's happening on the court.
Thanks, Lou. Yeah, I mean, I just that's how it's always gone. That's how it's always gone. But it's different today. The player can, after a game, do his own thing on IG, and the reporter would have to be responsible to check on it and see what he says and take the quotes from there. It's basically, I'm telling you, that's basically what it is. You're not going to ask me questions. You're not going to set me up. You're not going to do that stuff. Instead, I'll just say what I feel like saying. And if you find it interesting enough to use in your story, you can. I think that's what he wants to do. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm also not saying I'm not surprised. I felt like this has been coming for a long time. Once players started getting their own social media accounts, Twitter, they could do their own video. They have their own social media people following them around. Seriously, they have people that literally follow them around. I've had people offer that to me. You know, I'll do your social media for you. I'll follow you with a camera. I'll take pictures of you. I'll put something. And I just was like, I don't know. I'm not famous enough for something like that. Who the hell wants to see me? But there's people do this, and the stars. I mean, athletes for sure. They have that stuff, and they get huge followings, and they feel like I can connect to fans on my own. I don't need the media anymore. Superstar like Kyrie, who's got millions of followers, that's how he feels. And now I'm curious to see if the league lets him do it. All right, speaking of all this stuff happening in the world of the NBA, let's get to Audio Files.
The Audio File.
So you heard Jay mention LeBron had a reaction to Kyrie, who had made comments about, remember what he said about KD and how having that clutch player on the team, that he's never had a guy as clutch. He never played with a guy as clutch. He would trust him in the moment. And we all know, like, dude, you play with LeBron. So LeBron took that personal, clearly. But he never really said anything publicly, once again, until he went on the Road Trip and podcast, where he was comfortable talking to fellow athletes, and said this about Kyrie's comments.
When I heard the comment that Kyrie made, I wanted to, one, not only find the whole transcript, but also call my people.
Yeah.
Send me the whole transcript. And I heard he had did it on Katie's podcast, and I was a little like damn,
yeah.
Once I got the whole transcript, I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you tripping? I'm hit game winning shots all my whole life. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because you were there for a couple seasons. I mean, I played with Kyrie for 3 seasons. The whole time while I was there, I only wanted to see him be an MVP of our league. I only cared about his success. And it just didn't align. Yeah. It just didn't align. And we was able to win a championship.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship, and we could never align, but I only cared about his well-being, both on and off the floor. Yeah. And it kind of like, it kind of hurt me a little bit.
Listen, that's the kind of content you want, right? That's LeBron being as genuine and open as possible. I mean, that's the kind of candor you're looking for from star players. And that could have easily been somebody in the media asking him, what do you think about what Kyrie said? And he could have given you that kind of thoughtful answer. But he saved it for a podcast with a former teammate, Channing Frye, and just, you know, relaxed and in that kind of a mode. So you get that content from that rather than, that's a great example. Because that's a great answer and a very genuine one. That's my point. Speaking of which, now this is in a media scrum. Caris LeVert talking after practice yesterday. And of course, you know, trade rumors are trade rumors, but the James Harden stuff is a story in Houston and it gets hotter and hotter. Meanwhile, in Brooklyn, they're just moving forward with the team they have right now because there's nothing for them to do. One of the players that is always named in the trade rumors, though, if Harden was to come to Brooklyn, would be Caris LeVert. So why not ask Caris LeVert about, boy, is it hard to practice? Are you guys distracted at all about the James Harden rumors in Houston? I love his answer. Take a listen.
I mean, for us, for myself, I mean, I don't really have anything to do with James Harden not going to practice. That doesn't really concern me. You know, I'm focused on the team, the Nets, myself, trying to be the best I can be, you know, so that we can be better as a team. I don't really, you know, focus on all of that stuff. That really has nothing to do with me.
It's like, what's going on in Houston had nothing to do with me, at least not yet. But his answer was great. And that's, again, the example I'm trying to give you, is that a player can just be genuine. But is he a superstar player that is a polarizing figure that's going to get a lot of people talking about him? No. Caris LeVert is just a good NBA player. So it's a much different perspective. But that's the kind of, that's the reason why you'll always need media. Ask the questions, give an honest answer, and we move on. And we all like each other after that. So I really appreciate Caris LeVert's good. That was a good answer from him. But you have to ask them. See, that's the other thing we always say as media members. We tell a player afterwards, hey, man, I'm sorry, but I have to ask that question. I have to ask it. And some guys understand it, and some don't. Last but not least, so Buster Olney was a guest on the Chris Carlin show.
I used to be quite the sailor.
You still are. 7 to 10 every night. Does a great job. And does a great job. Really good. A lot better than the guy he replaced. The guy at night, 7 to 10 before him, awful. Terrible.
Just ratings. Google it.
So Steve Cohen has been going on Twitter, and he's had some fun. He tweets, yesterday he had everybody in a tizzy. You want the good news or the bad news? Of course you want the good news. What do you got? The good news is I lost 2 pounds. Thank you, Steve. Bad news, I have nothing to report. Things are developing slowly, so hang in there. You know what he's teasing? He's like excited right now about the prospects of getting George Springer. He's so excited about it. So, Carlin has on Buster Olney and asks him the question, you know, about the chances of the Mets getting George Springer. And, you know, Buster doesn't do this often. His family has a farm in Vermont. And a lot of times when you know something's about to go down, he's willing to bet the farm. So what does Buster say about this one?
I think they're going to be aggressive. You know, and that's based on the conversation with the agents. I'm just about ready to bet the family farm in Vermont that they're going to wind up with Springer. It just feels like such a natural fit. And he, of course, is one of the prime guys. He could play center field for at least a year. He'd help to balance out their lineup. You know, he might be in the $125 to $150 million range.
Bet the farm. George Springer, future Met. Get excited. And wait for Steve Cohen to tweet it, because he can. Doesn't need his PR department. He'll do it. See what I'm saying? See what social media has done? Gotta love it.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Yo, this will be an interesting game now. So you got Cowboys, Ravens. That game today, and tonight, 8 o'clock, a little Tuesday night, Tuesday night foosball. The line, I think, the William Hill line right now is 7.5. It was 8.5. The Ravens getting all their guys back from COVID. It's at Baltimore. It's in Baltimore. I'm definitely going to take the Ravens. I'll take the Ravens. I'll give you the points. Now, the team we'll put together, I like this team. This is our team, our daily team for this game. You got Lamar Jackson's back, so that's a given. CeeDee Lamb. We'll go Hollywood Brown, J.K. Dobbins, who's back, and how about a little Justin Tucker for you? How you like that? Put a little kicker. Kickers are barely even people, as Chris Candy always says. But we're putting them in the lineup as well. So that's what we've got for our lineup. Now, for the Cowboys, Rain Man, my good friend Rain Man, my oldest friend at the station, your team's terrible. I know my team's bad, but your team's terrible. They're 3-8, and they, like, this is a game, as you saw, The Giants, upset win, right? Surprising upset win. Washington, surprising upset win. If you're Dallas, like, this is your surprising upset win. Like, you got to somehow, some way, something got to happen here. Because if they lose this game, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Then you know. If you're a Giants fan and you see the Cowboys lose this game, you know week 17, those cars are already sent home. Those dudes, they're already packed up. They're living in boxes. That week 17 game at home against the Cowboys, if you're the Giants, that's a dub. So they have to win this game. They'd be 3-9. We told you 7 is now your magic number in the division. But they do have a fair, like, their schedule's interesting because after today, they've got at Bengals, then home against the Niners, home against the Eagles, and then at Giants. You have to win this game if you're Dallas. Got to get this game. All right, so that's our lunch money. I want to tell you that it's the most wonderful time of the year, as you know. Listening to holiday music, getting into the spirit. The Michael K. Show holiday broadcast, it's back, baby. This year, we're giving you a chance to hit the airwaves with Michael, Don, and Peter with your holiday hot take. Everybody's got them. Fire off one for your chance to win some holiday spending cash and your way on the air during the Michael K. Show holiday broadcast on Wednesday, December 16th. Dial into the holiday hot take hotline right now. At 347-974-ESPN. That's 347-974-3776. You leave us a message and give us your best hot take. We all have them. Get the oven mitts out. Four winners will each score $250 and a shot at the spotlight during the show with the biggest names in sports. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. All right, Bart will be back tomorrow. Let's finish off with a couple of calls. Let's see. How about we go to Doug in Huntington? What's up, Dougie?
Hey, it's Dove. What's going on, my man?
What's happening, man?
Oh, nothing much. I wanted to chime in on Kyrie Irving. Listen, I know you were saying, oh, just athletes these days, and this is kind of how they are. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm 32, so I know I'm a little bit older than him, but not much. I think this shows an extreme lack of maturity. I think that speaking to the media is a way to be held responsible for your performance, almost like a report card or a parent.
Well, it's entitlement, isn't it? I don't know if it might not be immaturity. I think it's more of an entitlement. I don't have to talk to them, so I don't want to. Like, I feel like that's what it's about.
I also think it's insecurity. Listen, I'm somebody from mental stuff, too, so I get it. But he doesn't want to have to face certain things. I think talking to the media is looking in a mirror, and I think it begs the question, like, why are you afraid to look in the mirror? What are you afraid of? You know, what are you self-conscious about?
I think you'll see. It could be. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, Dove, and thanks for the call. I feel like there's many layers to it, but I do feel like it's more of an entitlement. I don't need to. I can control my message. I don't begrudge any of this from him. You control your message, that's fine, but just understand what comes with it. He's trying to change the game. And like I said, if the league is going to allow this, if the Nets are going to allow this, well, without any, you know, punishment, fines, anything like that, well, pretty clearly, you know, you're going to see other players then say, well, okay, then why can't I do it? Now, also I have to say, Ashley Blackwood, who's his PR person, she did make it clear, like, he's not saying he's never talking to the media. He just feels like he wants to be able to do it this way, and he put out a statement just sort of setting that tone. So I do think there will be times he will talk, but it does set up to me as if it's like I'll choose who I feel like talking to, and it all depends on how you treat me, which I think is fair too, because you got to be, I think you should be fair to players. I've made mistakes in my career. I made mistakes with Stephon Marbury. I did. I've talked about it a million times. Made mistakes with him. He wasn't the easiest guy to deal with, but he wasn't as bad as a lot of us made it out to be. I got to be honest with you. And he dealt with a lot here in New York. He did. Some of it he brought upon himself, and some of it was brought upon the fact that he was always in the spotlight and he took a lot of criticism. If I had that to redo, I would definitely try to. I would do different things. I wouldn't have done some of the stuff I did, but it's just where you were at the time, and we all learn as we go, don't we? So anyway, I think that's a topic that's going to continue in the NBA and all throughout sports. So more of it to talk about. And Bart will be back with us tomorrow. So until then, have a great day, everybody. Can't wait.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.